I'm excited about sharing this message with you. The title is God's Calling For You is Stronger Than Anything That Will Ever Come Against You. And we'll talk about some examples from the story of the Apostle Paul. Before I open the word, let me share some humor with you. My favorite exercise is a cross between a lunge and a crunch. It's called lunch. I checked the Kelly's Blue Book today for my car's value, and it asked, is the gas tank full or empty? That's really true. I got gas today for only $1.39. Unfortunately, it was at Taco Bell. Teach your kids about taxes. Eat 30% of their ice cream. Some of you might be 40%. Some girls don't like to walk in the rain because it puts their face back into factory setting. Oh, I think I'm going to stop before I get pelted. That was a cross between joy and anger. Janger. In Acts chapter 23, Paul had just been through a turbulent season. I think it really disturbed Paul personally that his remarkable testimony was rejected from the group he'd come from, the religious leaders at Jerusalem in the Jewish community. He was, I think, really discouraged by that. But that wasn't his main calling. He was called to different arenas of life. In fact, when he was saved, as he gives his testimony so beautifully several times to government leaders, he said, the Lord appeared to me and said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I've called you to be a light to the Gentiles and to kings. And a part of, you know, the ongoing purposeful mission of Paul was both to preach the gospel to those that had never heard it, the Gentile world, but also to minister to leaders. And there's so much strategic value and understanding in that part of it, in ministering to leaders. In Acts 23:11, the Lord appeared to Paul, and here's what happened. The following night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer. There's some joy. Be of good cheer, Paul, for I, as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness at Rome. Now, what jumped out at me a couple weeks ago when I was reading that was the word must. That there was a predestined, predetermined, prophetic certainty in the calling of God for Paul about talking to leaders. Now, this journey is going to take him all the way to Caesar, the house of Caesar. So it was pretty influential, we all could say. So the Lord said to him, there's nothing that's happened to you. There's nothing in your past, there's nothing in your present, and there's nothing in your future stronger than the calling I have for you. All those must things that I've determined for your life, those destiny things, those calling things, are so powerful they will get you through the storms of life. First point, God's calling for you is always stronger than the bad decisions and mistakes of leaders. Now, this is an important point because one of the really points of frustration that grows into kind of a bitter disappointment in people's lives is when someone that they're under, whether it's politically, governmentally, you know, in a family situation, in a church situation, a business situation, whatever environment it is, when they make bad decisions, and sometimes the decisions are glaringly bad. Like you could see, man, that's not the right way to do, but they do it anyways. And so we're kind of captured by their bad actions. When that happens, your destiny never changes. Let me say it like this. God will never grant a person authority over your destiny and calling. There's no person on this planet that has authority to destroy the thing you were born to do. So God will override things. We can see this in Acts 27. They're going to set sail. So Paul, kind of advancing a few chapters, Paul is appealed to Caesar, appealed to Rome. They're going to take him on journey. A centurion, a kind of middle-ranking soldier, is in charge of him. He's kind of under arrest, but not really. He's just being, you know, kind of house arrest kind of situation. He's going to guide him to his destiny to minister to Caesar. But they're setting sail late in the season. And Paul says this, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of cargo and ship, but of our lives. So Paul said, either by a prophetic instinct or by just being a man of education, said, man, this is the wrong time to leave. And we shouldn't do this now. And he was, you know, trying to convince them, but then the other people voted against him. Nevertheless, the centurion, that's the man guiding him, who's Paul's under him, was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. So the owner of the ship wanted his money. The helmsman said, hey, everything looks good, and so they're going to set sail. Verse 13 says, the south wind blew softly. So here they're going to launch out. It's a beautiful day. Everything looks perfect. Supposing they have obtained their desire of good weather. Putting up the sea, they sailed close by Crete. But soon after that, a tempestuous headwind arose called a Euroclinon. So not long after their journey began so well. See, that's why you can't trust your natural mind to make important decisions without the counsel of God. Because many things that look good are going to end bad. And God will always warn you ahead of time. And your friends might say, why don't you do this? Well, I prayed about it. I don't have peace about it. I don't feel like that's... And they'll think, well, look how good it looks. But you have to trust God even when it looks good. Let me go deeper. You have to trust God even when they look good. Oh, man, he's so handsome. Oh, she's so pretty. It's got to be God's will. Not necessarily. You have to trust God's leadership in your heart, or else your mind will take you into storms that were never designed by God for your life. So they're in a full-blown seasonal storm. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, a great story. The children of Israel came into, Jacob brought his family, his 12 sons, into Egypt as a family. In Egypt, God incubated them into a nation. And now they're in the, millions. And the Bible says this, a king arose that did not know Joseph. We can say it like this, a king arose who didn't know Jesus. Let me say it like this. A president arose that wasn't saved. A governor, a mayor, whatever. So someone who's not familiar with the history of God through this people. And he began to afflict the Israelites, putting taskmasters over them, giving them heavy burdens. But the Bible says this gloriously in verse 12, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The devil doesn't know. Every time he comes against you, a new anointing is awakened in you. That God does his best work when Satan does his greatest assaults. So don't worry about some seasons we're praying to get out of, but if we just keep trusting God in them, we're going to leave great. We're going to leave very different. Okay. God's going to help us all. Point number two, God's calling for you is stronger than any storm that will ever come against you. Storms of life, there's an actual physical storm that they are enduring. And Luke, who writes the book of Acts, describes it like this. In verse 20 of chapter 27, now when neither sun nor moon appeared after many days, sun, stars, moon. So it's so pitch black, you can't tell if it's day or night. There's no sunlight, there's no moonlight, there's no stars. In fact, we know later on, it says for 14 days. So this is an intense, unending, overwhelmingly both fearful and, tormenting and traumatizing storm. And the Bible says this, as a result of both the intensity and the longevity of this storm, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. All hope. Now, here's what I like about it. Lots of people get saved at that point when everything didn't work out. You know, most people get saved in valleys, not mountains. It's human nature. It's not that God can't save people in mountains. He'd love to. But God waits till we're ready. And often we're ready, when we've run out of human agencies, human abilities, human ingenuities, human answers and solutions, that all hope is gone. There's 276 men in this boat, 275, maybe 274 lost hope. One guy didn't. It was the must guy, the called guy, the destiny guy. But after a long abstinence of food, they all stopped eating. Then Paul stood in the midst of them, and he couldn't help himself. Men, you should have listened to me. You with me? My wife and I have a deal. We don't say that to each other. No, I have a deal. She can't say it to me. I qualify for the hearing of that more than she does. You should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. He uses the same word. When he prophesied or declared this journey will end in disaster, he used the word hubris. This journey will end in prideful, arrogant disaster. In the arrogance of men acting without consulting God, that's presumption, that's hubris, that's humanity without God. And he said this, now I urge you to take heart. So they've all lost heart, they've lost hope. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. And God's granted you all those that sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Paul heard from God, and God said, I've not changed my must for you. I've not changed my purpose, my plan, my destiny, my call. You got to get there. You have to get there. And so God says, I'm going to give you your life. And Paul said, thank you. But I'm asking you, because of my calling, I'm asking for the souls of everyone on this ship. And the angel said, God's granted you these men. Well, Paul probably prayed for them. I travel a lot. I travel hundreds of times and millions of miles, actually. I love slapping the plane. Whatever was going to happen can't happen. I slap it. Destiny, here I come. Here I come. Whatever city, nation, boom. And all those people on that, they may be whatever they are. They're all blessed because there's one must man on the plane. There's one destiny person on the plane. There's one person who's got to do things that God said he had to do. It's not pride. It's not presumption. It's understanding the power of a calling. The Bible says in Psalm 46, our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That's who God is. Isaiah says it like this, when the enemy comes in a flooding, overwhelming way, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. Paul used his calling to ask for the salvation and the supernatural protection of every man on that boat. Paul's hope, they lost hope. People losing hope. It used to be in life. You had to be middle-aged to burn out. Middle-aged crisis. Now we're having 20-year-olds having crisis. I'm not belittling that. I'm just stating as a fact. It's a crisis of confidence. It's a crisis of hope. They've been told the world's going to burn up and fall apart. They've been told the economy is no good, that all these things. That they've been given so much garbage that any instinct, any visions, any dreams, any hope is just drowned. But when a believer enters into someone's life filled with hope, God will give you influence. Hope in the kingdom of God is pure influence. And the people that have the most hope carry the most influence. And God wants you to be a carrier of hope. I mentioned earlier, had the honor of traveling dozens of churches last year, year and a half, around the country, and it's fun this time. I'm doing more in states. I've not come to one environment where there wasn't discouragement. Leaders, pastors, etc., church. And often I feel, you know, I prophesy, I do what I do, but I feel like part of my assignment is just to bring hope. God's not done with you. Hope is the oxygen of the human soul. We suffocate without it. When hope walks out, depression walks in. You can't afford one day, one week, one month, one year without hope. Every decision we make based by discouragement or hopelessness will end up being a bad decision. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred, lost, stolen, taken, makes your heart sick. But when desire comes, that hopeful desire, it's a tree of life. Hope feeds your soul. Romans 5:5 says this, hope does not disappoint. King James says, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. The more of God's love you experience, the more hope you will have as a person. Hope flourishes in the heart filled with God's love. It's easy to be hopeful when you know you're loved. If it's not good yet, it just means God's not done yet. Don't give up. Your story is not over. We are here to prophesy to Phoenix, to America, to whatever, anybody, anywhere. God's not done in this country, in this city, in your city, in my family, in your family. And Paul said this, I believe God. His belief in God's promises gave him a bright light on a dark night in a turbulent season to shine the hope of God to those who felt hopeless. When all hope was lost, Paul said, I got some good news. We're going to make it. I've got some good news for you. You're going to make it. God's with you. He's for you. There are must things in your future. Often when I'm praying for someone who's terminally been diagnosed, terminally ill, I'll ask for God to show me something in their future. Did it for a service today. Someone with fighting cancer. Lord told me they were here. I found them, prayed for them, and prophesied about an event some years in their future. They have to, it's a must thing. And if we believe God in the storm, we get to our must. We simply believe God. Pastor, how is it going to happen? I don't know. God's sneaky. First Thessalonians 5:8 says this, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. What a great description of us guarding our thought life against discouraging thoughts that steal our hopes and create the devastating bad decisions and environment of really torment that comes through discouragement. Point number three, God's calling for you. Just want to remind you, I'm not the only called person in this room. We believe every believer has a calling. Every believer is a minister. Every believer has destiny. Every believer has a purpose for their life from God. Every person. God's calling for you is stronger than the agenda and weapons of evil men and evil spirits. Well, they come just like Paul said. They're shipwrecked on the reefs outside of Malta. And in that moment, the Bible says in verse 41 of chapter 27, striking a place where the two seats met, a portrait of transition, they ran the ship aground intentionally. The prow, the front, stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern, the back, was being broken up by the violence of the waves, off a picture of sometimes the roughness or even violence of transition seasons can be. Imperfect but necessary. The soldier's plan, verse 42, here it is, was to kill every prisoner, possibly over 100, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, commanded all those who could swim to jump in the waters and go to land, and the rest who couldn't swim to grab a board and float to land. And so they did so, and every man made it. Now, here's my point. The soldiers had a murderous thought to kill everybody, and Paul happened to be in that group of prisoners. When the enemy thinks he's going to take you out, God will raise up a centurion. Whether it's a supernatural angel or God using a person in an angelic, you know, mission to protect you, to preserve you, to guide you, to help you. I've had people help me that didn't even like me. This is true. I've had people do things for me, and while they're doing this, they said, I don't even really like you. I said, it's okay. Keep writing the check. I've had all kinds of things happen like that so many times, because God will provoke people to fulfill his purpose for your life. He can use anybody, anytime, in any season of your life. Don't worry. Well, Pastor, I don't have a defender. Oh, yes, you do. You have a mighty God, and he can put his hand on anybody to use them to help you. Okay. Paul survives that. They're at shore. Next chapter, chapter 28. When they had escaped, that's really a good word. They escaped a terrible storm, a dangerous shipwreck. They found out that the island that they landed on was called Malta. Malta means flowing with honey. The unseen glory of God is in every territory of man, every family on earth, every nation, every city, every church. There's an unseen glory river that God wants someone to dig down and find and bring out that honey and bless the world with. Okay, that's not my message. Stop it. There, the natives showed us unusual kindness. So they're very hospitable people at Malta. They kindled a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold, the storm, and these survivors coming. And so they're being welcomed so graciously. They're warming around the fire. They're helping them. Verse 3 says, but when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them into the fire, just an observation, I like Paul. He almost died twice. Shipwrecked, storm, soldier's plot. His first instinct on dry land was to serve. Don't you like people? They've been in something for 5 minutes and they say, what can I do? I don't know. We certainly love people that show up at the church like that. Pastor, what can we do? Oh, thank you. Pick something. We've got a lot of sticks around here. Pick one up. So Paul's doing something good. Is this his nature? He's not too big. He's not too famous, too important to gather sticks and build a fire. So while he's doing that, the Bible says a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Ouch! So he's doing a good thing and a bad thing happens. Now, I don't know about you, at this point in his story, I'm writing my fourth country western song. Because are you kidding me? Storm, goofy leaders, soldiers want to kill me. Got to swim to survive, and now I'm snake bit. Wow. Most Christians would say, that guy must be really out of God's will. Look at all the negativity around him. Man, if you don't have any snakes trying to bite you, it's because you're not building any fires. So right away, everyone has an opinion. Don't you love people? When a native saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said, well, Paul shook off the viper back into the fire. They said to each other, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But Paul shook off the creature back into the fire and suffered no harm. Shake it off. I was going to play the Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off. However, the people, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he must be a god. What a day! You're a murderer in the morning and you're a god in the afternoon. Now, it shows you the capricious nature of human opinion. Let me go a little. It shows you the danger of social media, because you're more than your followers or your likes. You're more than this or that. And so Paul, the most godly guy on the island, goes through the most ungodly thing. That's what used to bug me. So we had trouble happen 25 years ago, and my thought was, you know, there's a bunch of backslidden preachers in Phoenix doing all kinds of stuff, dicey stuff, and how come none of them going through this? How come no snakes biting them? You have to be careful not to throw a pity party. Yeah, I'm an expert about pity parties. The Bible says they all changed their minds. Let me help you. People will watch you the closest in your most difficult season to see if your faith is real. Paul went through something on a public stage. Now, when God allows everybody to see your setback, it's always a heavenly setup so they can all witness your comeback. So the whole island's watching this dude get bit. The whole island forms an opinion that changes through time because he shakes it off. Now, let me just say a couple of things. You have to shake off the poison of people's opinions and criticism and not let it get into your bloodstream. Mary and I practice, we have now for many years, like 25 years, we practice instantaneous forgiveness. Not just with each other, but with people. So we have things happen all the time. Had things happen this, you know, whatever. So when there's dishonor or inappropriate things or criticism or unfair things, so Mary and I practice instantaneous forgiveness. But we also do spiritual warfare. So here's what Isaiah says, because years ago when I started our first church in Scottsdale, Pastor George was there a little bit later, but in the church, I felt this intense thing happening. Like spiritual warfare, and I couldn't find the mechanism. I couldn't find the open door. Lord, what's going on? And the next 2 weeks, people came from churches, from two different cities, two different churches, and here's what they said. Our pastor has said publicly, you're out of God's will and you're going to fail. Both these churches. So I knew instantaneous that was spiritual warfare. Then the Lord brought me to Isaiah 54:17. And since 1986, I've been beaten. Let me say it without cussing. I've been beating the devil's brains out with this verse. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every word, he identifies the weapons as words. And every word spoken against you in judgment, you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me. So I learned to fight devils and forgive people. I learned to bless people and break curses. So I never, when something happens, I never say, I send that curse back. Well, that's what witches do. You with me? Jesus said, when they curse you, bless them. overcome evil by doing good, the last verse of chapter 12 of Romans. So Paul shook off both, listen to me, he shook off the snake and he shook off the people. He didn't, don't let people's praise get to your head. Don't let people's criticism get to your heart. He wouldn't let it into his bloodstream. I've helped so many people that I know had either publicly or privately spoken ill of my life. I've helped hundreds, maybe thousands of people. It never bothers me one iota. I forgave them. It's like it never happened. You with me? I keep my heart. So it's so great to be 64 and have an enemies list with no one on it but the devil. So Paul shook it off. They changed their minds. So people are going to change their mind about you. Everywhere I go and sit down, people love me now in Phoenix. I'm like, Thanks. But I have a memory. So thanks. It doesn't really mean anything. I want him. So tonight when I go to bed, in fact, it's Sunday, so tonight when I take my nap, I want to be kissed in the forehead and say, "You did good today." That's all I live for. Oh, and her say it. She tells me I always do good even when I don't. "Oh, that was so good." "Really? I know you're lying, but thank you." Your destiny is stronger than your enemy. Last point, God's calling for you is stronger than the oppression of people around you. So they land on Malta, a pagan island, filled with pagan beliefs, and then filled with massive infirmities. You will find often a connection between those things, by the way. Unusual infirmities in pagan places. So chapter 28, verse 7, in that same region, there was the estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius. Don't name your son Publius. It literally means, the transliteration from that to English is popular. It literally means popular. So he's the governor, also wealthy, who received us, entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened, here it goes, that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into the father, prayed for him, laid his hands on him, and healed him. When this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came, and they were all healed. Now, in Bible terms, we call that revival baby. Every sick person healed. Well, of course, Luke doesn't say so, but we can infer they all got saved. Whole island of pagans. So Paul's on a must trip to Rome. He gets sidetracked to Malta. But because he's in his must, his destiny, his calling still works. He shakes off the poison. He shakes off the storm. He shakes off the criticism. He shakes off the shipwreck. And there, the very place where the devil tried to kill him. See, people say, "Pastor, what's my destiny? What's the worst thing the devil's done to you? Turn it around opposite, and that'll be the best thing God does with you." The devil tried to kill him with a disease, a poison. And the same hand that was poison bit in the first few verses of this chapter laid on the sick. And they were all, you're not with me, they were all healed. It didn't matter what they had. They're healed. So God will, if you give God the chance, your greatest anointing will come out of your greatest affliction. Your greatest testimony will come out of your greatest trial. Your greatest victory will come out of your most suffering defeat, that God will give you such a restorative resurrection miracle right in the middle of things that the devil thought would take you out. But if you just shake off the poison of disappointment, the poison of people's criticism, the poison of weariness, exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, keep trusting God. God will make the honey flow. God will make the miracles flow. God will turn it all around. He'll do incredible things for you. He'll do incredible things through you. Amen. Paul said it like this. The guy that went through that wrote these words. We know that all things work together for the good of them. Shipwrecks, snake bites, bad leaders, attempts on his life. That all things work together for the good of them called by God, who love God, called according to his purpose. My purpose makes it work. My kingdom purpose makes my problems contribute. Oh. God factored in everything to your calling. And none of the other factors have the power to override the superiority of your heavenly calling, what God meant you to be, what God called you to do. Ooh. The storm the enemy used to try to divert and destroy Paul only ended up causing an entire island to have revival. Last point, don't fall into the trap of feeling sorry for yourself when things go wrong. I fell into that trap. Okay? Wrote a country album. Sorry, Candace. Instead, let God show you what he can do there. What are you saying? See Paul, and when that snake's hanging off his arm, I'm just telling you how I would react. Are you kidding me? When is too much, you know? And he didn't let logic or reason justify discouragement or doubt. He shook it off. I must get to Rome. God's already said it. Get off me. Get off me. Get off me. I'm not belittling hard things. I'm not in any way minimizing trauma in difficult moments of your life. I'm just telling you, they can't stop you. They can't stop what God has for you. They can't stop his purpose for your life. You know, I say this here, if it's not good yet, it only means God's not done yet. So we're going to give God a chance to let the honey flow. The whole island saved. Luke says, when they left, they gave us many honors, gave us everything we needed. The whole island celebrating that by accident, some preachers stopped by. They didn't plan on it. They didn't want it. We had them happen, you know, beautiful Mary, well, you know, we'll be all kinds of places and people will come up to me and, hey, want prayer or prophecy. She's just shocked that I can do it. Just, you know, doesn't matter, airport, restaurants, whatever, on the streets, it's visible. But you don't understand. I'm in my purpose. So my purpose gives me this grace to function in any realm. And I don't know about you, I just know this. I'm so glad I didn't quit. And I pray you don't quit. That you let God do in your life and through your life and for your life what he has ordained, what he has planned, predestined is the way we call it in Scripture, you to be. Father, I pray for these beautiful men and women, those here, those watching. I pray for my friends, God, anyone battling the horrific storms of life, especially maybe discouragement, emotional exhaustion, fatigue. Those that have been, God, through just so much, but you showed me the seasons were changing to give people hope. And Lord, I just declare today, you're filling their hope tank. You're filling their souls with a freshness of expectation, a renewal of faith, a restoration of vision, because you're not done in their stories. Thank you, faithful God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your enabling and faithful presence in our lives. We honor you. Just worship the Lord with me for a moment. We honor you, God. Lord, let every person just receive a download. Just, I'm all done. I just want God to touch you before I go. God, thank you for touching every life, every person, every situation, every circumstance. Everyone, God, who's maybe felt like they can't take much more, but God, they're right at the door of a new day. And something good's going to happen. For those that have been carrying grief and sorrow about loss and about injury and about things that are deeply hurtful, God, heal them today. Heal their hearts. Heal their souls. Let them know, God, you're not done. There's so much more for their lives. We thank you, loving God. We worship you. Oh, just worship him with me. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray for my friend and his birthday. Brother John, I saw this cool thing. I saw someone brought in. They laid on your desk. There was six piles of paper. There was like six contracts. And they all lined up one after another. And God has always made you an example of how to flourish in famines, how to overcome difficulties, how to trust God. You've been a bright light in your field, in everyone that knows you. God's just proud of you. You're the real thing. I'm honored to be your friend. But God's about to write the most miraculous chapter of your life, both in relationships to business opportunities, and then a partnership's gonna form. It's gonna change the dynamics of your life. And it's going to put you in a different position, an investing position. So this is a great season for you. This is a great moment in you and your precious wife and family's life. And the Lord couldn't be more proud of you. May God bless you, not just on your birthday, but on your birth year, this whole year. May God show off in your story in outrageous ways. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing John Quattrini. Thank you, Jesus. If someone... There's two people here that have been diagnosed with heart disease. There's specific heart, natural heart issues. Would you give me a chance to pray for you? So we're just going to pray for you. Lord, thank you for healing your daughter right now. And thank you, God. Would you stretch your hands toward our sister, God? I thank you for healing, touching, strengthening, renewing her life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Give her a new heart. Shock the doctor. Shock the medical world. Do amazing things. You're a beautiful family. You guys are family. And are they twins? Grandkids. I just want to say to you, it's family miracle time. And there is so much, you both carry so much favor because you've both been so recklessly faithful. Faithful to overcome difficult storms, faithful to overcome setbacks and disappointments. God's showing you. He's showing off through you. He's going to show off through these boys. Look, I put the boys to sleep today. That's good preaching, people. Come on. But miracles will happen. Sister God, I couldn't be more proud of you. The devil twice, both one at 16 and one at like 35, 36. The devil tried to break your heart so powerfully. Here you are, a woman of God, a woman of grace, a woman of faith, breaking things through for your family. God's honoring your prayers. God's answering your prayers. Brother, God's opening a door. So you're very creative, very dynamic, and a creative part. God's opening a door for you to be remunerated appropriately for your creative gifts. Be very intelligent, very creative. A new thing happens. God bless this family in every way in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead. Jesus. What's it? Other person with a heart issue. Lord, thank you for healing your daughter. We declare life and grace and healing to her in the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 91 says, with long life I will satisfy you. We declare longevity to you in the name of Jesus. God, let every valve, let every function and every quadrant of her heart work perfectly. Let it come back alive, come back online. Let it beat in rhythm with heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. Both from, this is a cool thing, both from childhood struggles all the way up to certain some medical help helped you like in the teen years. You are a miracle woman. And I just want to say this, God's not done in your story. You're not going anywhere. God's preserving you, God's healing you. I saw all the way down to grandchildren level, I saw these miracles just begin to sweep into your family of accomplishment, achievement, and abilities. God, I thank you. She's going to see it all. Her face a part of it all. And the best is yet to come in her story. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand your feet, everybody. Would you worship the Lord with me?
The wonder-working God, the wonder-working God, all the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. The wonder-working God, you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see,
prayer team,
too good to not believe.
Prayer team, come forward as we close this service. I want to invite anyone who needs prayer today to please allow us the honor of praying for you. The most important decision in life is what you believe about Jesus Christ. If you've never received and confessed Christ as your Savior and Lord, we'd be so massively honored to pray for you. And God's going to help you. If you need a healing in your body, maybe you're just going through the toughest week of your life or season, we'd be honored to pray for you. If you'd like to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we'd be honored to pray for you. Just come forward. Listen, everybody stretch your hands toward Teen Challenge for just a minute. I'm trying to close. So, which one of you guys had a brother die? A brother died. So there was a family tragedy, death. Is it you? Yeah. So I just want to say this. Sometimes the devil will use one event to traumatize like 8 people. The devil's a liar. And that same spirit that went after him has tried to go after you, but God's kept you alive, sir, because you're going to be an end time warrior, a giant slayer, a difference maker, a history maker for God. And it's amazing. The pain of others was really poured on you. It was almost like an unfair disadvantage in family dynamics. People couldn't process their pain, just poured it on you. But the Lord's healing you from all that. You're gonna be the one that heals your family. You're gonna be the one that heals relationships, heals faith, heals all kinds of vision, all kinds of things. God made you a fighter. I saw you fighting like from 6 years old. You've had to fight your way through all kinds of things. Now you're God's fighter. Now you're God's champion. Now you're gonna slay some big things for God. God loves you so much. God's not mad at you, He's proud of you. And you've been anointed, young man, for this season of life. You keep doing what you're doing in this season, and you're gonna emerge as a world champ, okay? You're gonna emerge as a person God uses time and time again to make the difference in others. Don't worry about what you've lost. I saw both finances, family, and other measurable things. All those things are easily repaired by God. God can snap His fingers and restore the years to. He's going to. God, I thank you for the destiny of this man. Heal his family from the loss of his brother. Heal his heart from all the affliction and the pain that was associated with that loss. And God, I thank you for the anointing of your spirit. He's been anointed for this season, for this time, to be a history maker and world shaker. In Christ's name, amen. Bless you, buddy. God bless you. Okay, trying to end. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just raise your hands if you're okay with that. Father, I bless your church. I pray, God, for a wet summer, a summer of miracles in every life listening to my voice. That you'd show off in their story, God, time and time again. Show them your love, build their hope, and God, do amazing things. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Mary and I are honored to serve here. Have a wonderful week. Hey, you're welcome to come back tonight, our volunteer night. Wednesday night celebrating our graduates. Tell someone Jesus loves them like crazy. God bless you.